even early on, this was clear that social media made money off your attention. It's being engineered to get as much attention as possible. That seemed like they were engineered to really distract you. We all looked at it with great suspicion. So I didn't sign up for arbitrary reasons. And then once I was in this unusual professional environment, it became really suspicious of why would I bring one of these tools into my life? It seems like it's going to get in the way of what I'm doing. It would be like a professional athlete looking at cigarettes and saying, you know, I don't really want to bring these into my life because I make a living off my lung capacity. Well, so the issue I had with social media was twofold. One, no one really had a good reason why I should be signing up for it. That definitely caught my attention. It was like, because it's here. And I'm like, okay, but what do you do on the Facebook.com? Like, well, you know, you see like who your roommate's boyfriends are dating or something. And I'm like, well, that's not interesting to me. Well, why should I sign up for this? No one was really giving me a good reason. And two, it became clear pretty early on that these platforms had a lot of energy being invested into making them as sticky as an experience as possible. They had the ability to manipulate your attention, to manipulate your emotional centers, to manipulate your social centers. They get you to look at these things much longer than you knew was useful, or much longer than you knew was healthy, in a way that you couldn't really replicate with something that was as asymmetric and static as television. So I was really starting to get concerned when I saw people with these networks following them everywhere they went, and was constantly pulling their attention down to that phone, right? So there seemed to be something new going on. So we had these platforms where no one could really explain why I needed to be on it, and yet it also seemed to be capturing so much of people's time and attention that for someone who made a living with my brain, I was very, very wary about this.
So can you tell me what you think is social media? So maybe say this company is social media. What is social media to you?
You know, typically when I'm using the term, I'm thinking about attention economy platforms where your data, time, and attention is the primary product, the primary thing they're extracting to sell. And I make a distinction between social media and the social internet. I'm a big early booster of the internet and the social internet. I think using the internet for expression and connection is very important. So it's really that attention manipulation aspect. It's a large platform, closed garden, trying to extract, monetize your data, your attention. So that would be, you know, it's hard to keep up with, but the classics would be Facebook, it'd be Twitter, it would be Instagram, it would be TikTok.
So then that goes back to Twitter, Facebook, Instagram being ones that you have a challenge with. And is it mainly because they get to dictate what you watch next and they're able to trigger and kind of manipulate the whole thing to say, hey, Cal, you like this? Let me feed you some more of this. Hey, like the whole Social Dilemma documentary, I'm assuming that's the part that you don't see any value in using those social media platforms. Is that a good way of putting it?
So again, the way I think about things through my digital minimalism perspective is there's not something I really value in life for which any of those platforms is a really big win. The thing I'm very wary of is what I think, especially with tech, it's very dangerous to approach tech from the mindset of, could there be some value here? If so, why don't I try it? In some settings, that's okay. It's nice to explore, but because of the things you're talking about, that's a dangerous decision in the world of the social media networks, because innocently, let me just like do some Instagram might end up being 7 hours a day. It might end up being, I am on this way more than I think it's useful, way more than I think is healthy. So you have to be a little bit more wary with these platforms because they are very good at grabbing your attention once they're there. So I keep coming back to, look, if there's a big win, I'll use it, but it could be interesting. You could find some new readers. There might be something interesting. That's not going to be compelling enough for me, especially when there's so many of these attention traps that have been engineered into the services. So I'm very wary. I think probably a strategic mistake that was made by the major platforms is starting around 2012 to 2015, they said, we're going to shift away from the original premise, which is this is a place to connect with people you know, and we're going to switch instead towards a newsfeed model. We are going to use algorithmic information to get you a steady stream of things that's going to be engaging to you. And a lot of people just migrated things like sharing photos with their family. They're like, well, fine, I'm not going to do this on Facebook. I'm going to do it on a group text message chain. I think ultimately that's probably going to be an issue for these platforms, because if they lose their network effect advantage, if it doesn't matter to me whether or not my cousin is on Facebook because I can just send him a picture of my kids on iMessage, now Facebook's advantage, why I have to use that platform, gets way reduced. Once it becomes just a source of entertainment, yeah, it's a stream of stuff that algorithms are selecting that's engaging. It's competing with every other form of entertainment out there, much more competitive landscape.
why would you think 100% of what social media offers isn't good? Because you can turn off the triggers and all the advertising and the way that Facebook, Instagram, Twitter tries to trigger your mind. You can control that. But why still say no to social media on the positive side that it offers to you?
So back in 2019, I wrote a book called Digital Minimalism, where this was the question: how do you figure out the use of technology in your personal life? And the answer to that book was not, here's the good things and here's the bad things. No one should use social media. Everyone should watch movies or whatever. The philosophy that came out of that book was essentially what's important here is working backwards from what you value, what you care about, your vision of what you want your life to be like. Once you're really set what's important to you in your life, then you can work backwards and say, what's the best way to use technology to amplify these things I care about? And I had 1,600 people go through this experiment where they got rid of all the technology, all the optional technology in their personal life, spent a month really reflecting, what do I care about? What do I want my life to be like? And then rebuilding their digital life from scratch. About 50% of them had social media as part of that answer. So to me, what's important is not what tech is good and what tech is bad. It is, are you deploying tech intentionally? Oh, here's something I care about. You know, I'm an artist. And there's these other artists who put their works in progress on Instagram. And seeing other artists in my field's works in progress is crucial to my creative process. So yes, I use Instagram for this purpose. That's fantastic, right? That's deploying technology intentionally to support things you really care about. And so that philosophy, which I call digital minimalism, is what I've really been pushing. Now for me, when I go through the things that are important to me and I want to spend time on, and I use tech in a lot of intentional ways, social media just hasn't made the cut, right? There's no particular thing in my particular life that this is very important to me where social media is a really good way of using tech to benefit it. So it's not in my life. But for other people, they answer that question differently. I care about how people ask it, not necessarily the answers that they end up with.
Do you think you will ever get on social media? Like, do you think there'll ever come a moment where you'll say, I think it makes sense for me to open up an account now? Or do you think you'll never do it?
For me to say, I don't see a lot of value in social media for what I'm doing right now, is not an indictment on the existence of the technology, right? Just like I was saying with the bike riding analogy before, I'm happy if someone's really friends who are really into bike riding. I think it's a cool sport. But if they really started bothering you, like, Cal, why don't you bike ride? Don't you see that this is going to make you healthy and has these advantages or whatever? It's like, look, just because I'm not doing it, I'm not trying to put down that you do. But I'm not out there saying we should burn bikes. I mean, again, the way I come at things is do less, do more, do better, right? So I'm very intentional, very picky. But I mean, think about the tech I do use. I like the strategic deployment of the tech when I see a big win. So like I have a blog, which I've had since 2007. Mm-hmm. That's been a big win for me. You know, I have this audience, I've developed my thinking. I've had an audience for 15 years now who's been a part of my interactions. One of the reasons why I didn't need, for example, to let's say go on Facebook, just to go back to that another aspect here, is that because I was an early adopter of tech, I sort of already had my own platform. Whereas if I didn't, right, if I wasn't so tech savvy, it would obviously have been much easier maybe to post on Facebook or Twitter, because one of their advantages back then in that early web 2.0 days was we're easier just technically speaking. It's a pain to set up a WordPress and get a server or whatever, but I kind of already had that going. You know, absolutely, I think any technology that comes along could come through that process of thinking I do and say, you know what, this is going to be a big win for this thing I really care about. The existing platforms just haven't past that threshold for me yet. And because again, I'm very focused on the things I do. They haven't been a big win. I care a lot about distraction. So for me and my minimalist calculus, they haven't crossed that threshold. The way we're working today is almost absurd. We spend almost all of our time in many office jobs, checking communication channels constantly, inbox, Slack, Teams, whatever it is that you use. And some of the data I cite is once every 6 minutes or more. We check in on one of these channels. And I argue if we look at the neuroscience and psychology, you can't do anything useful with your brain in such an environment because the context shift that you generate when you turn your attention to an inbox and then try to turn it back to what you're working on is incredibly disastrous to your ability to concentrate. And so it's a terrible way to try to actually do knowledge work, and people have to try to do their work in the early morning or in the evening, and none of it makes sense. And so that way of working was pretty arbitrary. Once email spread, and it spread for very good reasons, it was replacing fax machines and voicemails. Once email spread, in its wake, people started working in this way. We'll just figure everything out with back and forth messages real quick. It's killing our ability to actually work and is making us miserable. The future of the world of work is going to say, we're going to have other ways of collaborating that's not just back and forth unscheduled messages, and we're all going to be much happier and get a lot more done. It's going to be more of a pain to figure out these new, you know, there'll be more hard edges, more systems, more rules.